Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
All right, first things first, thanks to W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. We're your hosts. I'm Alistair Cross, and I am here with my co-host and collaborator, the Diva of Darkness herself, Tamara Thorne. Tamara, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. What are you doing? What's up?
You know what I'm doing. I'm celebrating. I finished my book, and you watched. I love it when you watch.
I did.
You voyeur, you.
I did.
Congratulations, Tamara.
Yes, it's very, and I have to say, it's a very good book. I'm thrilled. I was excited. I was as excited yesterday as you were because it's so cool to finally see this. It's cool. I'm really, really happy with it. So actually, before we introduce tonight's guest, I'm going to turn it over to you, Tamara, and I want you to tell the listeners a little bit about your new book, and then we'll move along with things.
Okay, well, it's called Brimstone, and it's set in a semi-ghost town in Arizona's starkly beautiful high desert. The town of Brimstone, as well as the Brimstone Grand Hotel, are inspired by real places, and if you're aware of Jerome, Arizona, you'll know what I'm talking about. Even some of the ghost stories are rooted slightly, very, very slightly in terrifying truth. As for the story itself, here's the back cover copy. Family Secrets, the Brimstone Grand Hotel, owned by reclusive former movie star Delilah Devine, looms high on Hospital Hill, harboring long-buried family secrets that whisper of unimaginable horrors, horrors that will echo down through generations. Twisted history. When Delilah's granddaughter, Holly Tremaine, who has seen ghosts for most of her 11 years, first comes to live in the Brimstone Grand in the summer of 1968, she's delighted by its majestic Western beauty and its chilling history. But as she settles in, making friends and enemies alike, the nightmares begin. Terror in the night. Within the walls of the Brimstone Grand, the past has come back to life, and Holly and Delilah are faced with an ancient familial evil that rages just below the old hotel's serene facade, an evil that won't rest until it possesses Holly, body, mind, and soul. You're supposed
dun,
to laugh
dun,
there,
dun.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Very quickly, once again, this is Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live. We're your hosts, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. You can learn more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com. You can also find us on Twitter at CrossAlistair, at Tamara Thorne, and at Tamara Thorne. We have a mutual blog, thornandcross.wordpress.com, and we also have a Haunted Nights Live page on Facebook. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. All right, tonight we are thrilled to have a return visit from one of my favorite writers and favorite people, Ray Garten. Ray has been writing novels, novellas, short stories, and essays for more than 30 years. His work spans the genres of horror, crime, suspense, and even comedy. His titles include the Bram Stoker Award-nominated Live Girls, fabulous book, Ravenous, The Loveliest Dead, Meds, Vortex, and many others, all fabulous books. His short stories have appeared in magazines and anthologies and have been collected in books like The Methods of Madness, Pieces of Hate, and Slivers of Bone. He received the Grand Master of Horror Award in 2006, well-deserved. He lives in Northern California with his wife and his currently working on several projects. You can visit his website at raygartenonline.com. All right, Ray Garten, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello.
What's going on?
Welcome.
What's new? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
First of all, your book sounds fantastic, Tamara. I can't wait to read it. And congratulations on finishing it. I know how good that feels.
It does. Alistair's my Ritalin. He keeps me on track. He said I had to write a solo. So I said, okay, yes, sir.
It was time. It's time.
Crack the whip.
Yeah.
And did you
have a happy Halloween?
Fantastic.
What was that?
Yes.
Did you have a happy Halloween?
I did. I finished my book.
Yes, that's
yep.
Yeah, you can't get any happier than that.
No. And then QL Pierce, our YA host, and I, because I'm at her house, we had a glass of absinthe to celebrate. And then we went to the opium parlor and picked up sailors and stuff like that. But we don't remember that part.
Nice. What about you, Ray? What did you do for Halloween?
Yeah, what did you do?
We watched movies. We had horror movies running all day and all evening, and a lot of John Carpenter. We tend to gravitate toward Carpenter on Halloween because of Halloween, but also because of The Fog, which I think is a perfect Halloween movie.
Great
ghost story. And we handed out lots of candy. The costumes get more elaborate every year. Right?
They really do. What do you think of the new version? Oh, of Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Yes.
Wow. What do you think of the new Halloween? Not Halloween, The Fog. I much prefer the old one. But the new one's okay in a pinch.
There's a new one? I was not even aware that it had been remade.
I think it's like 10 years old. But it's,
really?
It's, yeah,
I don't
really
pay much attention to remakes.
Yeah,
that's right.
A good
no,
thing.
I'm sorry. I do remember that. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I do remember it coming out.
You know. Yeah. Oh, the first one's so great, though.
It is.
And you mentioned Halloween 3. I love that.
Yes. That's one we watch every Halloween. A lot of people hate that movie, but they're wrong.
I don't know why.
They
are wrong.
You know, somehow I have never managed to see Halloween 3. I don't know why or how that is, but I hear so much commotion about it. People either love it or they hate it. What is the deal with Halloween 3? I don't even know.
Well,
instead
of doing
it has
movie,
nothing to do with the other ones.
Instead of doing movies about Michael Myers over and over again, they wanted to try an anthology format and do a different Halloween story in every movie. But it didn't go over very well, so they went back to Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
But this is great.
It is.
Yeah. You noticed that thing I put on every Halloween, the 10 hours worth of the Silver Shamrock song, Alistair?
Yeah.
That's from that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It will drive you insane. Okay. That's that movie.
All right. Yeah, it's a great movie. Very pulpy. I like it.
Yes. Incredibly.
Nice. I don't know how I've never seen it. All right. Every time I read this, when we have you on and I read your bio, Ray, you've been writing for more than 30 years. Wow. What's that like?
You were a young whippersnapper when Live Girls came out, huh?
Yeah. I was in my early 20s when that was published. And
practically unheard of.
And that was my my fourth book.
Wow.
My first book was published in
1984.
And after that, I just didn't look back. I focused on that and haven't stopped. But Live Girls came out in 87, and that's the one that's still the most popular.
Wow. Amazing.
That's cool. Is that a good thing, or do you kind of are you like, yay, it's still the most popular? Are you like, I really wish something would surpass that one?
There are times when I wish something else would catch on, but I'm very grateful to have the popularity of live girls.
It's new.
You know, young people are discovering it, and that always makes me happy when I hear from someone who probably wasn't born when it was written.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like being a, you know, you're always Captain Kirk. No, now I'm Denny Crane. You always want another one.
Denny Crane.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well,
yeah, we could do. I'm sure Tamara and I could do this whole show on Boston Legal.
Oh, you know we could. Yeah. Yeah, sleepover. Yeah. Where flamingos. Yeah, it's all there in my head, rolling around.
Yeah.
So, well, Live Girls is your most, maybe most well known. Is there one? What one are you most proud of, or do you feel is your, if you have a masterpiece?
The one I'm most proud of is Sex and Violence in Hollywood, which isn't a horror novel. It's hard to categorize, which is why it wouldn't sell. Publishers loved it. I got wonderful responses. But they didn't know how to market it because it's a thriller, it's a crime story, it's a comedy, and it has elements of horror in it, although it's not horror. And so it's a bit of a mashup, and they were baffled as to how to sell it. So they all turned it down. But I think it's my best book. It was certainly my best writing experience. The book just flowed so smoothly and quickly. Yeah, I'm very fond of that book.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Cool. Live Girls and a lot of your other ones like Ravenous and Meds and Vortex, they're all out with a new publisher, right?
Yeah.
Publisher, I should say.
Live Girls and Crawlers and Vortex is coming. They're going to be with Crossroad Press.
Oh, nice.
Company. And they're... eventually move all of them over there. The rest of them right now are at Open Road Media, and they're gradually moving over to Crossroad. And I've tied together four of the books. The book I'm working on right now is the fifth in that series.
Nice.
Excuse me.
Is this Forever Blood?
I have a cold.
I have
sneezing and coughing.
Buddy. Oh, okay. Yeah. We like that. It lines things up. Is this Forever Blood you're talking about?
Yes.
Tell us about that and the Patreon account thing.
Forever Blood is, there's Live Girls, Nightlife, and then Ravenous and Bestial are werewolf novels. And they're tied together with the characters Karen Moffat and Gavin Keough. They're investigators who are the thread through these books. And in Forever Blood, I'm sort of solidifying it as a series, and I'm pitting the werewolves against the vampires.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
And my Patreon account, it's hard to find it because they won't let you search it on Patreon because it has adult content on it.
Tell our listeners what that is. We aren't even very familiar with it.
With what?
Patreon. With Patreon.
Patreon is a place for artists and writers, creators, to go generate support, both financial and otherwise, for their work. And I've got several patrons right now. I'm trying to get more. It's hard to get it out there because it's unsearchable. That makes it difficult.
Yeah.
But I've posted the link on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. Very cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
What was that?
You wanted to talk about Cemetery Dance.
Yes.
How are you connected there? Yeah.
Well, I've been with Cemetery Dance for, gosh, since they began in the early 90s, and I just am incredibly grateful to them. They've they helped a lot of writers get through some tough times, because there was a dry spell when horror kind of fell out of favor. And during those tough times, they kept a lot of writers afloat, myself included. And they're just, I just want to praise them. They're wonderful.
Nice.
That's great.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Heard wonderful things.
Yeah, these covers that you sent us are gorgeous.
Yeah, I love your covers. Yeah,
I've been very happy with covers.
What have you been working on lately? Is there anything new coming? Anything, I don't know, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, there's nothing coming up right now except Forever Blood, which I'm working on. And the movement of the books, the publication of some... I'm trying to get Biofire out there. I don't have an electronic copy of it. Somehow I managed to not get have an electronic copy of that book. So I need to transcribe it from the book into my computer. And I haven't
been
done
there
yet.
That's no fun.
But that's a book that's been sort of unavailable for years. And so I'm working on that.
Uh-huh.
But nothing is coming out right now. I'm just here to chat.
All right. That's fine. That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about you. So in your 30 years of doing this, 30 plus years of doing this, which I think is fantastic, when you look back on your career, are you happy with it? Do you feel that you made the right choice by doing this?
I do wish, there have been times when I wish I'd finished school and knew how to do something besides write, but I don't. I dropped out of college and shortly after that sold Seductions, and I think I was a little too hasty in doing that. I should have finished school and learned some sort of skill or trade. That would have been helpful. And it certainly, I certainly advise other writers to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a pretty common thing, though. Most of us are college dropouts.
Yeah. That's totally true.
when you were a kid, what scary books or movies and authors influenced you?
When I was a kid, I was reading a lot of Richard Matheson. He was a big influence.
Wonderful.
Matheson, Goldman, you know, Bradbury, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Goldman, William,
wait,
Nolan, I'm sorry. I had a brain fart.
Oh!
William Nolan.
Okay. So you like science fiction, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I read a lot of science fiction when I was a kid. I was reading everything I could get my hands on.
I read all science fiction until I found The Hill House, and then I ooh.
Oh, yeah,
and
Shirley
Jackson.
You
know, aside from Bradbury.
Yeah, Shirley Jackson is wonderful.
Oh, it's a god. Yeah.
She pulled bizarre, strange stuff out of the most mundane and normal settings and circumstances.
For sure.
Right.
Have you seen the Netflix's version of The Haunting yet?
No, I haven't.
I
suppose I'm going to have to sit down and watch it. Everybody's telling me I need to see it, but it bears so much of a resemblance to the beloved 1999 remake with Liam Neeson in the trailers that I've stayed away.
No.
But I've been told that I'm making a mistake.
Don't worry. I consider that one comedy. That's one where you just get popcorn and you throw it at the screen while you watch it and laugh.
Oh, my God.
And mimic the... Yeah, you have to mimic Lily Taylor and talk... How is this? Children, they eat me. And, you know, just make a fool of yourself. That's comedy. It's almost as good as Rocky Horror for comedy. That, the other one... Netflix one is good. We
watch
it every now and then.
I need to watch it again for laughs, because the first time it just pissed me off.
Yeah, just for laughs. It's like Waterworld. We, from the very first thing where he says he's drinking his own urine. We're on the floor laughing at it. And that's how you watch these movies. But the Netflix, nothing like it. The only thing that pissed me off in it was episode 2 uses a box of kittens, and they keep showing you dead kittens. So I don't watch that episode anymore. They're not terribly realistic, but I hated it, you know.
Yeah.
Kill flowers if you have to kill something inanimate, not animal.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
kill
it's great, and it's scary. Yeah. Well, you know, remember the movie The Uninvited, 1945,
Raymond Land.
They used flowers.
Right.
Yeah, they just go dead in the house. That's perfect. They don't meow or, you know, and get milk on their little faces. I like to kill flowers, not cats.
I know. As a viewer or a reader, I find killing pets or animals of any kind very disturbing. But as a writer, it's an effective way to manipulate your reader.
That's true.
And it works every time. I mean, you do something to a pet in a book, and you're going to hear about it from somebody.
But Alistair and I don't hurt. We don't do cats.
Nothing makes a character more despicable than killing a dog or cat.
That's true.
Yeah. We used to kill dogs, but we have too many friends who like dogs as well as we like cats, so we don't do that either. And I've even gotten crap for killing birds, you know, and they just run into, you know, into the glass, and it's like, how could you do that? I put glass in their way, that's how. But when I killed dogs, they were always really ugly, mean ones. I have to say that.
With some people, that doesn't matter. I had a scene in, I think it was Biofire, the book I mentioned earlier, which nobody's read in a long time, where somebody, I have a bad guy, and to establish his badness, I have him kill a cat.
Oh, dear.
And it's a horrible, horrible scene. It was difficult to write, and I feel like I should apologize for it, but I haven't. It's going to stay there because it works.
I'd just turn it into a dog, and then I wouldn't be bothered. Well, not as much, anyway.
We have an editor who's really sensitive to any kind of animal cruelty, and you know, we're careful and stuff like that, but we've had scenes where we have, you know, someone roaming through the woods, you know, I don't know, a vampire, you know, surviving on a fox or something. So before we send it, because she's so sensitive to it, before we send it to her, we go change it all to instead of saying like fox or whatever, we change it to political figures.
Yes.
And she's okay with that.
And then we know she's reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes her smile.
You guys are breaking up. I'm having trouble understanding you.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, we should talk about it.
How are we now?
No, I mean, you're breaking up. The connection is bad.
Oh. Well, yours is good.
It is?
We hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's stopped.
Which probably
seems to have stopped. Okay.
Odin was angry,
right.
I guess.
I know, right? See, we're not. We're laughing.
Yeah.
We're laughing at the wrong stuff. All right.
That's right.
I attended the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and Cthulhu Con recently, and that was a lot of fun. I lost my bag at the beginning of the trip, and altered my mood in a horrible way, but the bag was returned within hours, and I was shocked. The woman who got my bag returned it intact; everything was in it. And after that, I felt much better, and I stayed with Jason and Sonny Brock. That was a great time. They were very, very hospitable.
Oh, nice!
It was a blast.
Oh, how fun.
Nice.
Do you do very many conventions, or do you tend to stay away?
I don't do conventions that often. I should do more, but
That's how I feel.
I don't travel well.
Yeah, do you just not like to? Well, you have a nice... You were really lucky recently in all those fires up in Northern California, weren't you?
We had our evacuation bags packed.
Wow.
We were ready to go. The fire was, I think, 6 or 7 miles from us. And the smoke, well, we spent most of the summer breathing wildfire smoke. It was so thick that it actually affected the, we couldn't see our neighbor's house across the street very well.
Oh,
it was so thick.
Wow.
Everybody
you must have
was
had
walking
a
around sounding like
the whole
they
time.
Had emphysema.
Wow. How did you even, didn't you have sinus headaches nonstop from all that?
Oh, yeah.
That was
well, I have
horrible.
A sinus infection now, and I think that's what caused it.
Oh,
probably.
And
yeah.
But we were, even so, we were very lucky because there were a lot of people who lost everything. There
wow.
was one woman here whose house was in a neighborhood that burned, but as they sometimes do, the fire moved through the neighborhood in an erratic way, and it got some houses and missed others. And it missed her house completely, but she lost her house anyway because vandals went in and destroyed the whole thing. They didn't take anything. They just literally destroyed the interior of the house.
How horrible.
For the fun of it.
Oh, monsters. That's
right.
Horrible.
I thought that was pretty despicable.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
For real.
Oh. Boy.
You know,
well,
we
go ahead.
We are, but I have we are almost out of time, but you know, we've talked a lot about doing theme shows and stuff like that, in the future, like next year. And you know what? I'd love to have you back. Like, I mean, we could. I mean, we'll email you and we'll talk about it more. But you know, we could do some like. It'd be interesting to get your thoughts on. I don't know. We could do the business. We could do character development,
sure.
things like this.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to have you. We'd love to have you back. And you're welcome anytime. Of course. Like
I really enjoy
you,
being here, so I'm glad to know I'm welcome.
You are. And,
yeah.
And we'll be in touch because I think you'd make a great guest for some theme ideas that we have in
mind.
So,
great.
So we'll be in touch.
All right. Well, thank you very much, you guys.
Tell us tell everyone where they can find you and your work.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And my books are at Amazon. All of them are available at Amazon. They're available through most booksellers. My Facebook page seems to be the most active. I'm there most often, in and out.
You're hysterical on Facebook. I love
it.
You make up the best stuff. And people
on
take
Twitter,
you seriously. I love that.
Yeah.
No politics on my page, no religion, nothing controversial.
Yeah.
I want it to be a place where people can come for a laugh.
Exactly.
Right.
And it is.
Nice.
Yeah.
It is. It's a breath of fresh air, so I, for one, appreciate that because I'm about sick of hearing it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Enough already.
That's great.
All right.
Well, thanks for having
me,
guys.
Oh, you're
welcome. You're
welcome.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you,
everybody, for listening. Until next week, we wish you haunted nights.
And sweet screams.
Thank you for listening.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.